I'm going to read from Daniel chapter 2 and verse 14. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" I shall leave it there. The person I want to speak of this evening is not Daniel primarily, nor even Nebuchadnezzar, but this character called Arioch. I don't think if you were to come up with a list of great men of faith in the Bible, I suspect Arioch probably wouldn't feature. So what am I going to say about him tonight? Well, he is one of the bit parts of scripture. He's mentioned several times, in fact, which is more than some of the folk have spoken on. And I ought to give you a little bit of context before we consider Arioch himself. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has had a dream. We all have dreams, probably every night. But when a dream is from God, or from the gods, as Nebuchadnezzar may initially have thought, it does rather stand out. You don't need to ask yourself, was that from God? I think you just know. And there's a whole cast of wise men in Babylon, magi, who claim to be able to interpret dreams. But Nebuchadnezzar is a smart man, and he knows they'll probably just make something up. So he poses them an additional challenge. Not only can you tell me, will you tell me what the dream means? You'll tell me what the dream was. Because if God has spoken to you, or the gods have spoken to you, telling you what the dream was shouldn't be a problem. Well, guess what? They can't do it. Because by and large, they just make it up. And Nebuchadnezzar, in one of his tantrums and rages, orders, and we find this from verse 14, he orders all the wise men, of which there is a great number, of Babylon, to be killed, to be massacred. In one respect, they are charlatans, they are pagans, they are sorcerers, they engage in all sorts of occultic activities that we wouldn't approve of today. On the other hand, Nebuchadnezzar is also a pagan, that they simply dance to his tune, I think, most of the time. So we come across Arioch in verse 14 of Daniel chapter 2. And Arioch, it would seem, has been given the task or the job of butchering all the wise men of Babylon. So I think Arioch is called the captain of the king's guard. It might be he's in charge of palace security. It might be he is a general in charge of a standing army. It might be that he's effectively the minister of war. Or indeed what we might call the home secretary. If there are some miscreants in the kingdom, it's Arioch's job to rid the land of them. So he's called the captain of the king's guard. We don't quite know how important that makes him. But Arioch had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. I can't necessarily prove this, but I kind of think a man like Arioch wouldn't have been given that job unless he had a natural inclination for it. I think to be captain of a guard in the ancient world probably meant you were quite a violent individual. You relished the prospects of your sword and your spear. Furthermore, we know that Nebuchadnezzar, he was an extremely violent king. When you read of him in the book of Daniel, he's a violent thug who happens to wear a crown. Even if you read the secular accounts of him, he was a violent, terrifying man. And Nebuchadnezzar's policy was, if you want to rule a people, you've got to scare them. What does he do when he conquers a land? He carries all the people off. He moves them to a different part of his empire in order to subdue them. Hence the Jews are able to say in Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept. Yea, we remembered Zion. It's harder to rebel when you're not living in your own lands. And that was Nebuchadnezzar's idea. So Nebuchadnezzar has, I think, chosen Arioch because he's a suitably bloodthirsty man for a bloodthirsty position at the court of a bloodthirsty king. So he sets off to kill all the wise men of Babylon. I don't imagine that Daniel was the first one on his list. I suspect his hands are already bloody. His tunic is already stained with those whom he's already called at. So he goes out to kill the wise men of Babylon. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, this is Daniel, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. Why does Arioch do that? He's under no obligation to explain to Daniel, who as far as the king is concerned is a criminal, why he's doing it. Could it be that Arioch and Daniel already have some kind of relationship? Again, we don't really know this, but you know, if a police officer was arresting somebody, they of course have the right to remain silent, and they want to know what they're being arrested for. But this idea of having a conversation with them about it and having a little chat, I don't think it would happen, much less in the ancient world. Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. He could have just killed him there and then. That would be obeying the king. That would be far simpler and more straightforward than giving him the information he requires. So I would propose that Arioch, although I think he's a bloodthirsty man, he's a man who's already been impressed by Daniel. I haven't got much evidence for that. And yet I do know that the Lord is working through Arioch. The fact that he's prepared to have a conversation with Daniel, even though Daniel ought to be, by law, the victim of his sword. In verse 16, we're told that Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time. The obvious interpretation of verse 16 is that Daniel actually goes into the king's chamber and has a chat with him. Interestingly, in verse 25, it's Arioch who goes in. So whether Arioch is going in on Daniel's behalf in verse 16, I'm really not too sure. But either way, Daniel gets a reprieve from the king. He prays to God. God reveals to him the nature of the dream. And in verses 20 to 23, Daniel does what all children of God do and want to do. He praises God. He doesn't praise Nebuchadnezzar. That's what the false wise men do. He doesn't praise himself. He praises the God of heaven. That's why Daniel is a great man. But what of Arioch? Verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. Notice there that the writer of the book in verse 24 repeats to us what we already know. We know that Arioch in verse 14 has been tasked with killing all the wise men. Why does he tell us again in verse 24? Now, in fact, there is another Arioch in Scripture, but he was an ancient Canaanite king mentioned in the book of Genesis. Nobody's going to think of that Arioch here. The writer is really underlining the surprising fact that this violent and bloodthirsty royal official is prepared to have a conversation with Daniel. Instead of killing him, he's listening to him. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation." Daniel's rather bold, don't you think? But of course, when God's revealed the dream, he can have a boldness. Look also, though, the way he speaks to in verse 14. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch. What on earth is counsel and wisdom? Counsel, of course, is where we get the word counsellor. Not a bureaucrat for the local authority, but one who will give counsel, one who will give advice. He spoke in an advised manner, a well-advised manner, and in a wise manner. Arioch, for all his bloodthirsty job, is amenable to counsel and wisdom. Most people who are trained killers, most people who are violent, don't want good advice and they don't listen to wisdom. But I wonder if Arioch, being a professional soldier and not just a thug in a uniform, he's smarter than the average. He's prepared to listen to this young man. Daniel is quite possibly under 18 at this point. If anyone ought to be ignored, it's Daniel. If anyone ought to be killed according to the law, it's Daniel. And yet Arioch appears to have a soft spot for him. Daniel says to him in verse 24, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon." That's actually a contradiction of Nebuchadnezzar's command. Arioch could have said, "Who do you think you are? It's my job to obey the king. You're telling me not to do that." Why is it that Arioch is obeying, or at the very least, heeding Daniel? I wonder if Arioch can see something different in Daniel. He's seen all the wise men of Babylon. He knows they're a bunch of fibbers and liars and charlatans and hucksters and tricksters and all the rest of it. There's something about Daniel, something truthful, something honest, dare I say, something holy and sincere about him. And Arioch is open to that. So Daniel speaks to him in a wise way, in a well-advised way, and with wisdom. And Arioch responds to it. And in verse 25, Arioch becomes Daniel's ambassador. He actually goes into the king on his behalf. "I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation." What difference does it make to Arioch whether Daniel lives or not? He's just another wise man. They're two a penny in Babylon. You can kill this lot, another generation will rise up. And yet Arioch is the means by which Daniel is saved. God could have sent Nebuchadnezzar an angel, but he didn't. A vision, he didn't. Ironically, God sent him a dream, and that resulted in the wise men nearly being exterminated. But Arioch, on Daniel's behalf, fulfilling the secret will of God, goes into Nebuchadnezzar, thus saving Daniel's life. If I were to compile a list of the great men of God in Scripture, I have to admit, Arioch probably wouldn't be very high up. He is a pagan. He's a violent brute. And yeah, I think he's intelligent. But on the other hand, he's obeying orders and the king wants hundreds, possibly thousands of men to be killed, and Arioch is the man to oversee it. And yet I think we can learn from this man. He was given evil orders, and although he doesn't refuse to obey them, he is willing to listen to Daniel. So, what do we know about him? Number one, verse 14, when Daniel speaks to him with counsel and wisdom, he pays attention. We don't listen to everyone who speaks to us. If I had a penny for every time someone phoned me up with a particular accent, claiming to try and improve my broadband or to say that there's a fraud in my bank and will I phone them back and phone this number? Well, if I had a penny for every time that happened, I'd be wealthy. If I had a penny for every time I believed them, I'd be bankrupt. But Arioch is able to discern between the charlatan and the real thing. Listen for wisdom. Seek good counsel. Primarily, we get that in God's word. Arioch didn't have a copy of the Bible. Most of it has not been written. But he does have Daniel. So listen for counsel and listen for wisdom and heed it. What else can we learn from Arioch? He's willing to explain. Now, this is not a particularly spiritual point, but I think it's a good general point. Sometimes we need to explain what we're doing to people, what we're doing for people, rather than just assuming they understand where we're coming from or what we're doing. Explain. Arioch decided to explain to Daniel the urgency of this law, and that caused Daniel to go away and speak to the king and to pray. God used Arioch and his willingness to talk for Daniel to begin to pray to God. Finally, in verse 25, Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king. Instead of killing him, he's bringing him. Instead of destroying him, he's saving him. Arioch quite possibly doesn't even know the identity of the God of the Jews. Maybe he has heard of him. Maybe he and Daniel already have a relationship and Daniel's spoken to him. Not about the multiplicity of Babylonian idols, but the one true God, the Maker God. Maybe they already have that relationship, but we don't know that. What we do know is that Arioch has seen something in Daniel that he knows is wholesome and that this young man ought to live. Therefore, he goes into the king on Daniel's behalf to tell the king that Daniel ought to be saved. As well as learning here that Arioch, despite being a trained killer, also values life, he's actually the instrument of God without knowing it. Ironically, Nebuchadnezzar was also the instrument of God without fully knowing it. Jeremiah the prophet and others before him had threatened the Jewish people on God's behalf, saying, if you go after idols, you'll be transported out of the land. Who carried them out of the land? Nebuchadnezzar II. Although a pagan, God used him. God uses people even when they don't believe in him. God uses people even when they don't love him. So how much more will God use people who do believe in him and who do love him? You might say in one respect, this is not a great act of service. He simply went into the king and said, I found a Jew who can interpret the dream for you. But that small act of service God was able to use. And it wasn't just Daniel and his friends whose lives were saved, but even the pagans who didn't believe in God. Arioch was God's instrument. Sometimes when we get out of bed and the new day begins, it might be worth saying to the Lord, Lord, will you use me today? I once prayed that on holiday in London. I nearly got attacked because of it. But it was the right thing to do. I intervened to help somebody. Other times I prayed that. And when I went to bed, I reflected, actually, nothing had happened. But actually, God uses us even when we don't know it. Through our speech, through our actions, sometimes through our inaction. God will use it for his wider purposes. Arioch was God's instrument, though Arioch may not have known it. You are God's instrument too, and you do know it. Therefore, consider yourself his vessel. Consider yourself his servant. Consider yourself his mouthpiece. Consider yourself his tool. The man or woman of God who wants to be used by God is never disappointed.